Owning an investment property can be challenging, but it doesn't have to be. At Heritage Realty Property Management, they handle the challenges for you, ensure it's rented, maintained, and gets the highest return possible, while you just collect the check. With over 50 years' experience, you can trust Heritage Realty to provide the property care you want and rental knowledge you need. Visit heritagerealtyknox.com to connect with the team more landlords trust. Heritage Realty. We treat your property as if it were our own.
Continued conversation. Got to be at least 21 to join me here this morning here on the starting lineup. 99.1, the Sports Animal. I tried to take the 1993 slogan and bring it back to the table here. Just some odd 19 years later, 20 years later, excuse me here. It's just some 29 years later as we're going to take you up till 9 o'clock this morning. Heath Shuler joining me in studio, being brought to you by East Tennessee Children's Hospital. You gave us one. What's the second?
Well, the second was obviously it was in New York. It was, you know, very cold.
Number one, you said that the athletic, yep, the athletic house there is kind of a dump.
Yeah, it was. I mean, the greatest thing is I got to meet my childhood hero. Yeah. I mean, Earl Campbell. I mean, it was unbelievable. O.J. Simpson was the host.
That year in 93.
Yes, he was the host. He was the guy that kind of conducted the ceremony.
He's
the
master of ceremonies.
Yeah. He was the guy. You know, so that was kind of, you look at it now.
Earl Campbell, like, there. There's juice.
Yeah, so it was, that part of it was remarkable.
Sure.
But that night after the ceremony, my brother and I, Benji and I, were sharing a room. We, sure, pulled the drapes off the windows and had to cover up. It was so cold.
Wait, they put you in a hotel room that had no heat or something?
No heat, no nothing. And there was a hole in the window. We stuffed, it was a hole in the window. So we stuffed we took a sheet and put it in the hole. And then we took the drapes off the windows and had to cover up with them. It was that cold in the room. Froze to death that night. It was unbelievable.
So your trip to New York City was not.
Well, the university was so awesome. And afterward, we changed hotels. We didn't stay but one night there.
Okay.
So it was really awesome. Yeah.
You know, okay.
We actually, you know, we stayed at the Plaza after that.
I was about to say, I can't imagine that there were too many nights that there was without heat in New York City after the night after the high school.
You know, 9/11 actually took that building down completely.
No kidding.
Yeah, so it's no longer there. But, you know, they were financially almost bankrupt, if not bankrupt at the time when, you know, when then, I think, did it Disney take over? ESPN, Disney kind of took over, yeah, the whole deal. So, you know, it was an unbelievable experience. I mean, I just can't even begin to tell you. But to meet Earl Campbell, I wore 34. I thought I was going to play tailback.
Really?
I thought I was going to be a tailback growing up, yes. Loved Earl Campbell.
So then all you did was become a quarterback and then start knocking people over on the way to the end zone.
You know, I mean, I could have probably played at a smaller school,
sure,
you know, but you couldn't play. I couldn't play tailback at a big school.
Heath Shuler joining us in studio here. Monday morning quarterback, Tennessee now 10-2. I want to hit reset with you. Your overall thoughts, you were at the soppy, wet First Bank Stadium in Nashville over the weekend. There were so many whispers, so many questions, so many what ifs. Who will show up? What team will? What will this coaching staff do? Questions, questions, questions. Your overall thoughts on the 56-0 drumming of Vanderbilt?
Well, they were able to hit a reset button. Reset, start over, and refocus. And to me, that is a sign of incredible coaching, but it also tells you what that team's made of.
Sure.
You know, they're listening, they're paying attention, they know what's at stake. They have an opportunity going into that game to have the first 10-win season since 2003.
Correct. Regular season.
Regular season.
Yeah.
So I think it was great. I mean, I just was so impressed how they came out. They were relaxed. They weren't uptight. And they just dominated early. And that's the key to Tennessee success. Start early, go fast, and be successful right out of the gate. We played really well on the defense side of the ball. And I was proud of those guys. They did well. You know, I didn't see the mouthing that I saw, you know, kind of the jawing back and forth. So guess who took care of that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the coach says, all right, well, that's not us. That's not who we are. We're going to go out and play ball. You know, and, you know, look, you intercept the ball, you do something great, that's awesome. You know, love to see your expressions, see you play, and,
sure,
see how that works. Our special teams, all areas of the game, we played exceptionally well. I thought that there was more pressure on Joe Milton than any player on the field.
Tony, go ahead, finish that point.
So And he proved to everyone how well he – it wasn't just mocking up a game.
Yeah.
How he could be the field general to go out and perform. And I thought he did an incredible job.
Tony on Twitter this morning says, would love to know his thoughts on how Joe Milton performed his first game filling in for Hendon.
I thought it was great. I mean, the weather conditions were terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he didn't turn the football over. He did all the things. I think he protected himself. He didn't have to run when it was unnecessary. And when he did have the chance to escape and get out of the pocket, he did everything. He did throw a fastball on the one that he got out of the pocket.
Yeah.
You know, no one was going to catch that ball.
That was my only concern. The weather conditions on top of the fact that Joe Milton wants to put a hole through every person's hand on the receiving side.
But that, I think was concerned that there was two that. Plays that I saw him throw a fastball.
Right.
So in the quarterback's terminology, we always talk, that's your fastball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's times that you have to throw the fastball, and oftentimes it comes when a quarterback is out of the pocket because you're really, I mean, kind of things are breaking down around you.
Right.
You're out of the pocket. You're scrambling. You know, there's not many Aaron Rodgers that gets out of the pocket and able to perform the way he does.
Yes.
Not necessarily the biggest fan of kind of the attitude, if you will, but the dude is incredible. You even see Mahomes do that. And he gets out and he'll throw some fastballs.
Right.
He did that last night. I watched a couple times. So all quarterback kind of throw the fastball and they get out. Joe did that, but I think it was only one. Across the middle passing several times, out of the backfield. He did everything offensively, threw the deep ball well, even though there was a couple overthrows. Two of them were holding penalties.
Right.
And I think the other was just our guys' legs. By the time they got 70 yards down the field, they were tired.
Let me ask you about the Princeton fan play. If he puts a little touch under that, fans go into the house. If you're working with Joe Milton, this is me asking. I'm not asking you to be a coach. What I'm asking is what you see. When you look at the way Joe Milton, this Greek god built man and his mechanics, how do you make that decision?
If you're in the laboratory designing the great, what is a quarterback supposed to look like?
Yeah.
It's Joe Milton.
How do you find a way to go, okay, here's where I need you to reins it back a little bit?
He does it. I've seen him at practice.
He does do it.
He does do it. And I've watched him in the game do it. You know, it's just now putting more of those together over a period of time. And that only comes with throwing the football more often during the game situation.
So this can rectify itself.
Oh, I don't see it as a problem whatsoever.
Okay.
And here's the thing that people don't realize about Joe Milton.
Okay.
He is really smart in the classroom. When it comes to the X's and O's, he's really good. He was trained really well in Michigan with Harbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
And so once he got into this system, teaching him the defensive side of the ball was not a problem. He is really, really good in the classroom. And you have to have that in this offense. You have to be really good in the classroom and be able to go out and perform it and throw the ball. But so I've got really high expectations. I think, you know, I have probably higher expectations than anyone that Joe Milton is going to do extremely well next year.
I know this is probably a rhetorical question before we hit reset this morning here. 8:14 with Heath Shuler, the East Tennessee Children's Hospital Monday morning quarterback. We know about Nico. We know about who's coming in. We know about next year. And I understand you can't look at 23 until 22 is over. Rhetorical question. Joe Milton knows he's playing for the starting job right now, right?
Joe Milton is the starting quarterback.
No question about it.
There is no question about it.
Even with the potential that's coming in.
I don't care what the kid looks like.
Okay.
Joe Milton is the starting quarterback. There's not a controversy, and there won't be one.
He's Shuler.
There's no way. Kid, it's too complicated to come in. I mean, Nico played, what, half the season this year?
Sounds about right.
Yeah, 7, played 8. About half the season.
Yeah.
It is really hard to come into the SEC, in this offense especially, if it's the full playbook, to come in and learn what is needed and necessary to be able to go out and play well. Does he get some opportunities? Look, you got Jackson there too. I mean, Jackson's probably saying, hey, look, look, you're behind me. So there's going to be a lot of – I mean, that quarterback room is going to be pretty interesting come January. And it's hard when – I don't know Nico personally.
Sure.
But it's really hard when he's going to come in and to that atmosphere with high expectations. You know, how does he handle himself? Is he humble? He's definitely not going to wear the pajamas in the locker room. I mean, in the quarterback room. I mean, because the quarterbacks will take care of that, right? It's that type of – I think that's the locker room that you have, too.
Logan Ward, what did we miss from last night? Tyler Ivins, he's Shula, the reset. Still start bench cut to get to. Final 45 minutes, including more questions for he's Shula this morning. They're starting to tear in. 99.1, you're listening to the Esports Animal here on the Monday Morning Quarterback.
New AP Top 25 poll in college football is out. Tennessee jumped up to number 7 after the win against Vanderbilt on Saturday. Georgia stayed at number 1. Michigan moved up to number 2. TCU checked in at number 3 and USC at number 4. In women's basketball from yesterday, the 23-ranked Lady Vols took down Eastern Kentucky 105-71. Rekia Jackson scored 15 points for the Lady Vols in the win. In the NFL yesterday, the Bengals took down the Titans 20-16. The Eagles beat the Packers 40-33. The Browns took down the Bucks in overtime 23-17. The Jaguars upset the Ravens 28-27. Elsewhere in college football, Wisconsin has hired Cincinnati head coach Luke Fickell to be their new head coach. It's 8:16. More Monday Morning Quarterback coming up next here on TSL. Have a good morning. I'm Logan Ward.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next question, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
In studio with Heath Shuler, with the SEC Network on. First season with 8 or more wins since 2017 for the Gamecocks of South Carolina. Does that lessen the blow a little bit watching them beat Clemson and Death Valley over the weekend, Heath?
I did. I mean, it took the sting away.
Does it?
I think it did. I mean, you know, they're a really good football team, you know. I think Beamer's done a great job of turning the program around there. I mean, it's, you know. I don't like how he celebrates. He's kind of like that kid that you got beat in the playground and you had the better team and somehow they pulled it off at the end and it was the guy that kind of ran her all over school and you talked about it in the lunchroom and, just act like you've been there, brother. Spencer, just act like you've been there.
Spencer Rattler, what have you seen over him? Just quickly, if we could talk about Carolina. Rattler's smoking a cigar outside of his locker after the 31-30 victory against Clemson over the weekend. What have you seen over Spencer Rattler the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think he has a lot of talent. I mean, in the last 2 weeks, he's played as well as any quarterback has.
He sure has.
I think he's kind of found his groove. The question is, you know, will he be able to stay in it and over the long haul? I think he'll still throw the ball to you. I think he'll turn the ball over, but I think he's going to make some really spectacular plays and throws extremely well. And, you know, obviously he's getting comfortable in the system. So, I mean, they're going to be a tough team, you know, to see what happens in the offseason with recruiting and the portal and see what happens and see where they end up.
You know, we've got a start bench cut coming up in a matter of minutes here when talking about the destination for Tennessee. Let me ask you a question. Do you remember when you guys were going bowling? I'm going to stop you real quick. What was your when you're talking about destinations, whatever year it may have been, what's the first bowl game that comes to mind? When I say Heath Shuler bowl game, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Well, Phoenix. You know, we went to the Fiesta Bowl out there. Andy Kelly was a quarterback. We had some incredible talent playing Penn State. That was awesome. Yeah. Loved it. I mean, that was, you know, new experience, new part of the world that I hadn't seen. You know, I mean, that's what the bowl game's all about, is going out and having those experiences and seeing those things. I mean, that was a really good experience.
You know, there were so many of my friends who, after the Carolina loss, said, nope, not doing this. They let me down again. Anybody who you know who needs tickets to the Vanderbilt game, tell them they can come get them from me. I'll give them to you. They can have them. They don't pay me for them.
Yeah, they're the first in line now to go to the bowl game, right?
Very much so. But those same people also ended up pulling back the tickets and saying, you know what, now that I think about it, I'm going to go to Vanderbilt because I want to see potentially the last time so-and-so plays, because opt-outs are still very real now. Exhibition games of the bowl game season. If you're Heath Shuler right now, and I'm going to ask you, do you think that we might have ourselves a little bit of an overhaul? Overhaul might be too strong of a word. Do you believe we're going to be... Do you believe Tennessee is going to be missing some players whenever they go to the bowl game? And are they going to look like, a former shell of themselves from the regular season? Because well, I feel like that's kind of the world we're in now.
It is the world that we're in. And, in some instances, you want them to continue to play.
Sure.
And you can kind of realize that, they played a lot of games this year.
12-game season's a marathon. 12,
that's a long time. So you're playing your 13th game. Mm-hmm. That's a long season. Injuries happen. You can see it in some instances, but look, if you're a first rounder, you can probably say that. Anything after that,
do
maybe
you believe Tennessee has a first rounder on this team? Multiple first rounders on this team, flirting with first round talent.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, okay. I think Tillman probably has that. I think he's really, really good. Got an offensive lineman that's probably, could.
I'm looking at that. If you ask me right now, if Heath, you turn the question on me and you go, Ivins, you know what? You do this too. Who's the first Tennessee player taken in Kansas City's NFL draft? Darnell Wright. Everybody needs offensive line help.
Everybody needs offensive line. So he's probably, I would agree with you. Yeah. So, you got two, but at the end of the day, I think they want to play.
Yeah.
They want to continue to prove themselves and give them a better opportunity to move up in the draft, and that's a great way to do it. If you're a second, third round draft pick, play to play in the first round, right? You put yourself in that opportunity that there's no doubt you may do something special. Because guess what? If you're a projected second round or third or fourth rounder now, and you're opting out, come on, you're not seeing the big picture here. One game could give you something that is a wow factor to be able to put you into that first round. Draft
in the position to be one of those first 32 guys
absolutely.
Taken.
And that's why you play, right? That's why you're going to play that, and you're going to go play for the team. You're going to play for your teammates and your coaches and your fans and the school. Let's go play.
Before we hit start bench cut, Queso Vol fan this morning wants to know, is Tennessee under Joe Milton in a better position to try to repeat what happened this year next season in 2023?
See, I think absolutely.
Really?
We were talking about that off the air, that I think Joe Milton has put us in a great situation right now going into next season, as well as we were going into this season. I think it gives us that opportunity to be a contend for the national championship.
Wow.
That well. I just really like the way he throws the ball and the things that he does. And, he's going to get a lot of attention, and I think he'll maintain his focus. I really do. I believe he's going to do a great job for us.
We got about 30 seconds here. I want to ask you this before we hit the reset. Are we going to look back this time next year and say Joe Milton and the graduation and maturity of Joe Milton, the number one thing, the best thing that could have happened to him, was becoming the roommate of Hendon Hooker and watching their back and forth and having Hendon rub off on him for a season?
I think so. I think Hendon has a couple of the attributes that Joe needed, and that was,
sure.
Being calm in the pocket, being poised, and when things break down, to be able to still be relaxed and get the ball to the receivers. I think Hendon, that's where he was at his best. And I think with the other attributes that that Joe Milton has, you put that little bit of calmness in the pocket, which I saw on Saturday.
Sure.
Then I think that's going to go a long way. He still needs some more game time, which I think will be very, very helpful. But he's got everything it's needed to put us in that place next year that we'll be talking about playing in the playoffs.
That's Heath Shuler, Tyler Ivins. Start pitch cut to get to. Logan Ward's got six sizzlers for us next. Plus, we're riding with Ivins play before we wrap things up here. Your Monday morning quarterback with Heath Shuler, being brought to you by friends at East Tennessee Children's Hospital here on 99.1 The Sports Animal. All right, let's get right to it, shall we? I don't want to waste another second more on this. Arguably the most popular segment in the entire 13 hours of local programming that we do here on Sports Animal is what's happening right now here on the starting lineup. Start pitch cut time now, being brought to you by our friends at Blue Water Climate Control. Logan Ward, please.
Alrighty, guys, with the Vols locked in for a New Year's Six Bowl, where are they heading?
All right, big question here.
The Cotton Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, or the Orange Bowl?
I'll lead things off. And based on the criteria that the SEC, the language they've laid out when it comes to the college football playoff.
Which is vague.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Essentially, whoever the second best team is in the conference that did not get selected to go to the playoff, they automatically go to the Sugar Bowl. So based on the rankings we see from the Associated Press, Bama ahead of Tennessee, unless Bama gets into the playoff somehow, they're going to the Sugar Bowl. So I would say as of this second, this moment, I'll start the Orange Bowl, I'll bench the Cotton, I'll cut the Sugar. For anybody who wants to go to New Orleans, you need Alabama to get into the playoff, which might pain you a little bit, but you still get the Sugar Bowl. I don't think it happens. I think both Tennessee and Alabama, they both missed the playoff. That's why it's that order.
Yeah, I agree. Same order.
Who do they play in the Orange Bowl? Or who do you want them to play in the Orange Bowl, Heath?
I would like them to see play Clemson. You know, it's all orange.
I like Clemson, too.
I think it'd be good. You know, I mean, it could be Chapel Hill, right? I mean, it could be.
Could be.
It could be Chapel Hill. Throws the ball. A lot.
Tennessee fans would rather be in Florida than Texas.
I would too. I mean, Texas is good. You know, Dallas is a great place. Great stadium. Love the stadium.
Love both
awesome
cities.
Stadium. It still could be 40 degrees kickoff, you know, even though you're not playing outside, but all the festivities and things that's going on around it, you know, it's nothing like South Beach, Florida.
Biggest shocker of the college football weekend, Texas A&M blowing out LSU, Michigan taking down Ohio State, or South Carolina beating Clemson?
Oh, come on. I think we know what order this is in. You want to take it first, Heath?
Yeah, I'm gonna start South Carolina beating Clemson, and then I'm going to bench Texas A&M blowing out LSU, and then I'm going to cut the Michigan beating Ohio State.
We actually said on this program 2.5-3 weeks ago, just kidding, watch Texas A&M will beat LSU at the end of the year. Let's make this thing crazy. The correct order is the order he laid out. Now, look, the way Michigan beat South – had you
the
said –
The way,
it,
that's look, right.
Logan, had you said the way Michigan beat Ohio State, that's the clear start.
And without the running back who did nothing. Corum did nothing.
Right.
He was also hurt. But,
so when you say Michigan beating Ohio State, I mean, that's – I mean. They were two undefeated teams. We knew it was going to come down to this game. Had there been more specifics or emphasis added to it, maybe it changes. But for me, it's Carolina over Clemson. Then it's the A&M LSU, and then it's Michigan Ohio State.
Which SEC team had the best finish in their holiday tournament? Tennessee winning the battle for Atlantis. Alabama knocking off number one UNC 4 overtimes, too.
Yeah, right.
Or
yeah.
Arkansas's come from behind to best San Diego State.
To me, Tennessee beats Kansas after beating USC and Butler, the run they went on. This isn't a Tennessee network thing. What they did was impressive. And everybody knew it was going to be a Tennessee-Kansas championship.
Yes, multiple wins.
And they handled Kansas in that win. So I'm going to start Tennessee winning the battle for Atlantis. Look, even though UNC had already lost before they took on Alabama, that's still a nice win for Nate Oates' team. It's that order. Then I'm going to cut Arkansas. They finished third in the Maui Gym. Maui Invitational, I should say. But that was for the third place game. It was impressive good, how they though. Did it. Ooh. Arkansas will probably win the conference this year, but they're the cut out of the three.
Yeah, I agree. Start bench cut. Tennessee's win, Alabama, and then Arkansas. Start bench cut.
Best coaching hire or rumored coaching hire so far this cycle? Luke Fickell to Wisconsin, Matt Rule to Nebraska, or the rumored one, Hugh Freeze to Auburn?
Got a freeze warning down in Auburn.
Yeah, so I'm gonna start Luke Fickell.
Yeah,
and then Matt Rule at Nebraska, and then I'm cutting Hugh Freeze.
How quickly can Luke Fickell make Wisconsin a national championship contender? He probably doesn't like the fact that Rule's also in his division now, but it's gonna come down to those two now.
I still think it's so hard to recruit there.
Go up to Madison.
Why would you go to Madison, Wisconsin? Why would you go to Lincoln, Nebraska? Why would you go play in the North? I'm sorry. I just don't see it.
Is it because?
It was okay when it was tailbacks and linemen, but people want to see a show.
Right.
Do you want to see these offenses? Why do you think Michigan's gone to the type of offense that they have? Don't you think Harbaugh likes throwing the ball around, being a former quarterback? Yeah,
that's a great
how
point.
How many times are they throwing
that's
it now?
A great
now?
Point.
What, probably least of – if they were in the Southeastern Conference, them and what, Vandy would be probably tied for the least amount of attempts per game.
Probably. Let me ask you this. Is Hugh Freeze right now the best option for Auburn? If you can't get Lane, is Hugh Freeze the best option right now for Auburn?
You know, I just think that's challenging. You know, I think it's a good fit. You can kind of forgive him for his indiscretions and the problems that he had up at Liberty. You know, maybe they can get away with it up there. I think it's really challenging. I mean, where's Deion in this situation? I mean, I don't mean this bad.
I was about to follow up with that.
But where is Deion in this? I know people think that's
crazy. Why are you shaking your head, Logan?
That would be a disaster. Disastrous.
Look.
Wait. Deion going to Auburn would be a disaster?
Yes.
He has the number one he would have the number one recruiting team like right out of the gate, probably.
He would still get smoked every year by who they have to beat.
No way.
100%.
No.
100%,
no,
dude.
No.
Kiffin would beat him. Leach would beat him. Saban would kill him. Brian Kelly would beat him. No chance.
He's putting some, you know, Deion's not calling plays, right?
No, he's not. He's not.
He would put some people around him. You know, I just don't think in a lot of these communities they're ready for Deion.
Yeah.
Deion's ready for the SEC. I just don't think that some of the schools are ready for Deion.
So what you're trying to say, hands in the cookie jars down there in Auburn.
So what you're trying to say is that Deion's not taking the Colorado job. Okay.
That'd be funny.
What do you got next?
Currently, what's the best opening in college football? Stanford, Auburn, or Georgia Tech?
I mean, Auburn's how much cleaning up you have to do down there? Short leash. You know what? If the right this is so hard because clearly Georgia Tech's the cut, but I'm going to try to sell you that Stanford's a better job right now than Auburn because of just what's in front of them. I can't do it. Start Auburn, bench Stanford, cut Georgia Tech.
Oh, see, we're a little different on this one, Tyler. So I'm going to start Auburn. I think, you know, you're in the SEC.
Okay.
I think Atlanta's a great place. You can recruit, great place. It is hard to get some of the students in, but not near as hard as getting a player into Stanford.
Okay.
Right? So I'm going to start Auburn. I'm going to bench Georgia Tech, and then I'm going to cut Stanford. I just don't – it's really challenging. What a great university. I mean, everything you could ever imagine, great education. But you're just not going to surround yourself with the best talent like you would in the SEC or in the ACC at
– Logan Ward emphatically agreeing with you right now, not in his
own. I like it, Logan.
All right, last one. Who's the better team right now, Ohio State, Alabama, or Tennessee?
Oh. See, why did you have to put this one on there like that?
We got
to
ask the tough questions.
Ask the tough questions. Right now, I'll start. Five. Right now, who's the best team right now? Start Bama, bench Ohio State, cut Tennessee. Right now, current standing, who's healthy, who's not healthy? Asked this question 2 weeks ago, completely different order. This second, November the 28th, that's the order.
I said right now.
Okay.
I'm going to change it up a little bit, but I'd have to agree. Start Alabama, bench Tennessee, cut Ohio State.
Garbage Cup brought to you today like it is every single day here on TSL by our friend Jeremy over at Blue Water Climate Control. Try their excellent smooth sailing service plan that includes payment options for a low monthly cost of less than $17 a month. No overtime fees even for emergencies occurring outside of business hours and on weekends or holidays. Call today to set up your appointment, 865-299-2290 or online, bluewaterclimatecontrol.com.
All right, let's get to it. Ride with Ivan's Play. Get you sent along to the EA Show with Brian Rice next here on the starting lineup. 99.1, you're listening to The Sports Animal.
New AP Top 25 poll in college football is out. Tennessee jumped up to number 7 after their win against Vanderbilt on Saturday. Georgia stayed at number 1. Michigan moved up to number 2. TCU at number 3 and USC at number 4. In Lady Vols basketball, they took down Eastern Kentucky 105-71. Rekia Jackson scored 15 points for the Lady Vols in the win yesterday. In the NFL, the Bengals took down the Titans 20-16. The Chiefs got by the Rams 26-10. And the Eagles took down the Packers 40-33. Aaron Rodgers left the game in the third quarter with a rib injury. It's 8:47. Riding with Ivins coming up next here on TSL. Have a good morning. I'm Logan Ward.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
All right, final segment here on the starting lineup. 99.1, the Sports Animal. Tyler Ivins wanting to say what's up to our friends over at American Outdoor Equipment. Of course, you can find them up in Rockwood. Phone call waits for you. Let Tyler O'Brien know I sent you in his direction. All you have to do, 245-5213. And that's to say what's up to our friends. If you're picking up a Branson tractor, get $1,000 of Christmas cash back when you stop by and see them at American Outdoor Equipment. We'll go quick here. They haven't hit an over all season. This number's been adjusted too much. Your play for Monday, November the 28th. Give me Mississippi State tonight over 129 points combined with Nebraska-Omaha. Yeah, that's right. Uno, Mississippi State over 129. What's better than one former Tennessee quarterback? How about two former Tennessee quarterbacks? EA, he's Shuler, Heath. You know EA? You guys know?
Oh, absolutely.
Heath has shared his thoughts quickly. EA, your overall thoughts on the whole, will they come out? Will they play well? Will Tennessee beat up on Vanderbilt? I think 56-0 answered the question.
Getting your butt kicked, it's always safe. It's a legitimate question. I know Heupel got a little upset about it, but it's a legitimate question. When you get beat like that, how are you going to respond? And they did. They killed Vanderbilt.
Love getting thoughts on Heath. How about you share your thoughts on Heath? Two quarterbacks talking right now.
I'm clearly the B team in this room right now. Freshman team quarterback age.
Why don't you let Slappy Radio guy step aside now? Eric, Heath, I'm going to give you guys 90 seconds. Your all's overall thoughts on Joe Milton filling in for Hendon Hooker the first go-round.
Made some great throws, missed a few throws. It was pouring rain the entire time, which affects how you throw the football. If you watch their quarterbacks throw, it devastated them. Joe at least handled it pretty well. Didn't turn the football over, managed the run game pretty well. I thought he played fine for his first start this year.
Yeah, I think it was an A. I mean, with the weather conditions that he had to contest with, and, you know, I think he had all the pressure. Of every player on the field, he had the most pressure on him to go out there and perform. Coming off the South Carolina loss, going to Vanderbilt in those conditions, it's an SEC team. I know it's Vandy, but it's an SEC team, and he went out and played extremely well.
And when you miss a deep ball, because I can already tell half our fans are driving
me insane about it.
I can't handle it. But when you miss a deep ball, like Hendon Hooker, Heisman candidate, missed a million this year, if it's an incompletion, it's not the end of the world. If it's a pick, it's a problem. If you miss one, it's an incompletion. It's 2nd and 10. You go make another first down, and after 3 plays later, you're taking another shot. It's not a big deal. Yeah. And it was pouring rain. I can already tell I'm going to take calls on that today, and I'm going to have to just tell people to just hang the phone up.
And it was a couple of times. There was 2 plays in particular that I saw that were overthrown balls. We were getting held. I mean, we were getting held. And the second part of it, one other overthrown ball to Hyatt happened was he had just ran a 60-yarder, you know, the play before that no one saw. He comes, runs right back and gets on the line of scrimmage and runs his second attempt at it. Well, you're not going to be as fast your second
it's
time down the field.
It's a slight flaw in the offense when you see some of those guys running deep, tough, deep.
You guys should hang out more often. You guys might have a lot in common, Heath Shuler and Eric Ainge.
I feel like we do. We always
absolutely
get along.
Quarterbacks, University of Tennessee, just to be a fly on the wall. EA, we'll give you your 3 hours, man. Heath, see you next
Tyler,
week, my friend.
Always, man.
For the Monday morning quarterback, East Tennessee Children's Hospital, we say goodbye. EA and Brian have got you next the rest of the way. 9 to noon, 99.1, the Sports Animal.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.